It's Monday morning. Parshas Kisisa, Tavshin Pei Dalet. There are a number of different inyanim in the parsha. We'll start at the beginning with the counting of Klal Yisrael with the Machzis HaShekel. Kisisa Esrosh B'nei Yisrael of Kudehem. When you count the heads of Klal Yisrael, Kisisa means when you actually lift the heads of Klal Yisrael. And each person pays Kofar Nafshei, it's ransom money, when they are counted, so that that there should not be a negative, a plague that occurs with the counting. So it says that the minyan, when Klal Yisrael is counted, so the Sholipay Ayin Hara, so the Ayin Hara has a place to find to be chal, and Dever Baalehem, and there's a plague that can occur. And therefore, rather than count the actual heads of each yid, so each yid gives a machzis shekel, and the machzis shekel are counted. Otherwise, it would be chas v'shalom, a plague that breaks out in Klal Yisrael. So you see something very interesting here, that the ayin hara is a very real concern. But you know, ayin hara, the underlying point of ayin hara is that if each yid is counted individually, right? So then what happens is that attention is drawn to that yid. And actually, when we ask for things, we always include the rest of Klal Yisrael. It's always in the plural. When we daven for Refuah Shleima, it's always Besoksha Choli Yisrael. It's always among everyone in Klal Yisrael that needs a refuah, in order not to draw attention to that one particular person. Yes, we mentioned his name, but it's B'Sosha Chol Yisrael. When we ask for parnasa, it's Borecha Leinu, as Hashanah says, Sab'einu Mituvecha, V'Reshana Seinu. We're not just asking Hashem to give us parnasa, we're asking Hashem to give us parnasa together with the rest of Klal Yisrael. We always want to include ourselves in a... In the tzibur, I heard a number of times from my reshiva, Rav Rudi Ben Zatzal, that he said that when the Rav Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, he took ill at the end of his life, so he asked that people do not daven for him by name, because he did not want to attract attention, because if a person attracts attention, so the Rebbeinu Shlomo, he said, will open up his pinkus, his special book, he'll take out, oh, there's the Cohen file, Cohen. Meir Simcha. Oh, he did this and he did that wrong. I mean, I don't know what Meir Simcha was concerned about, but in terms of that's the way it works. And so the underlying concept of that is really Hashgacha Pratis. Hashgacha Pratis means is that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is concerned and does look at every individual person. In other words, it's Hashgacha Pratis is really something that we... that is part of our basic foundation of Emuna, and this is what we saw in Mitzrayim, and that we spoke about this, that there was not only a punishment that came to the nation of Mitzrayim as a whole, but each and every individual, they suffered the fate in a Mida Keneged Mida fashion at the Kriyas Yamsuf. So this really speaks of Hashgacha Pratis, so therefore we don't count Klal Yisrael as individuals. We only take a census in a roundabout way by bringing a coin, and the coin represents the yid. The Gemara says in Megillah and Tezvav that when Haman wanted to have the Jews destroyed, so he wanted to buy them out, so to speak. In other words, that if Achashverosh would kill out the Jews, then there would be a lost revenue of tax money. There wouldn't be a great revenue coming from that part of the country, from the Jews. And therefore, Haman was very wealthy, and he wanted to make that up. So he says he'll pay Haman, Aseres Lofim Kikar Kesef, he'll pay him 10,000 talents of silver. And so the Gemara says is that Haman, he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael by paying for them with that Kikar Kesef. We were Kadmish Shkolim, we were already brought our Shkolim before he brought his Shkolim. What does that really mean, that we brought our Shkolim before his Shkolim? As far as I say that, you see, what is it that if you want to characterize Amalek, so Amalek does not believe in Hashgacha Pratis. Amalek says everything is by chance. In other words, nothing happens with the supreme divine intervention and supervision of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And everything is mikra. I mean, we speak about that, of course, as we get closer to Purim. And, you know, everything is chance. What is the chance that Klal Yisrael should still exist today? Very, very shvach. What do we say in the Haggadah? B'chol dor v'dor, om dem aleinu l'chaloseinu. It's not just, you know, when we're aware of it. But in every generation, there are those who have power that really scheme and would want to destroy the Jewish people. Well, now we see that right now. People are not hiding their intentions. Heads of government are not hiding their intentions, right? We had this, you know, throughout the generations, notably so many times in the Holocaust and so on and so forth. And therefore, if over the last 3,500 years, you have in each generation powers that want to destroy us, you know, what are the chances that we're going to be able to maintain ourselves and not become destroyed when all of the other major nations in the world have disintegrated and they no longer are represented in their original form? That would be very, very shvach chances that we would succeed. But we have Hashgacha Pratzis. The Rebbeinu Shalom takes care of us. And therefore, the Amalek effort, the Haman effort to destroy Klal Yisrael is rooted in the fact that there is no Hashgacha Pratzis. There is no divine supervision. For once and for all, we're going to destroy them. And they do not have a God that's going to take care of them. You know, the Medrash says that Haman said that their God created them, but then Nizdakin, he became old. He can't take care of them anymore. He's already past the age of retirement, and he's gone on to other things. God is on the golf course in Mar-a-Lago, and he's not interested about the Jewish people anymore. I mean, this is what Haman was saying. It says that much in the Medrash without the Mashal of Mar-a-Lago, but he says that their God is Nizdakin. So actually, the clash between Klal Yisrael and Amalek is a global clash, a spiritual global clash, a clash of East meets West in terms of Hashgacha Pratis, where we believe that every blade of grass, right, has the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's attention, and there's a malach on every aspect of the Bria that is involved and sent by Hashem, but more importantly, by Klal Yisrael, we have Hashgacha Pratis, and the Amalekim, and they totally oppose that whole concept of Hashgacha Pratis. So therefore, our Shkolim, which we are given in acknowledgement of the fact that there is Hashgacha Pratis, because if there wouldn't be Hashgacha Pratis, we would be able just to take a census and count ourselves. But the fact that we have to give the Matzah Shekel, and that's a holy shekel, that's a very holy shekel. In other words, that those Shkolim not only... Incidentally, Moshe Rabbeinu was niskasha. Moshe Rabbeinu was perplexed. You know, what does a shekel look like? So Hashem showed him the holy shekel, a shekel of fire. What does this mean? Like, what was so difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to picture a half a shekel coin and then let Hashem show him the coin? Why is Hashem showing him a fiery coin, right? The point is that what's happening with this Machzah Shekel? In other words, we use this in the service of Hashem. Yes, we pay, we take our census with it, but then it's used in the service of the Mishkan, and it's used in the service of Kedusha. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu was this kasha. Where do you have the physical money? Money represents the physicality. Man, everyone wants money. Where do you see that could be elevated to the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom? That's what he was perplexed. So the Rabbeinu Shalom shows Moshe Rabbeinu not just a coin. He's showing him, no, that this coin is a coin of fire. And the fire is something that transcends the physical. The fire is going, the Torah was given, mitoch esh. And as we learned in the Ramban, the color of the kruvim is gold because that represents esh. And that's where we have spirituality. And therefore, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Skasha. That's why he was perplexed. And Hashem shows him, though, that we can take our Machzah Shekel and elevate it and bring spirituality into the world. Because we're all about spirituality. And that is all about what Amalek wants to... what's no part of it, cannot understand it, and opposes it. And therefore, our Machzah Shekel came first and opposes that those shkolim, those kikar kesef, those talons of silver that Haman brought. Okay, so that's the first thought I wanted to share with you in the beginning of the parsha. As we move along, now we have a mitzvah of Kiyor Nechoshes V'chano. There is a basin made out of copper that sits on a stand. Kiyor Nechoshes, the copper, which is Pasuk Yudches, V'chano, in its base, is made out of Nechoshes. And what is it for? L'rachtza, for washing. The coin washes. It's, where is it placed? Between the Ol Moed and the Mizbeach. Now here we're talking about the Mizbeach HaAdama. It's talking about the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the outside Mizbeach upon which the Karbanos were brought, right? We spent so much time last week speaking about the Mizbeach HaZav, the inner Mizbeach, but it's between the outer Mizbeach and the Ol Moed. The Ol Moed is the precinct which houses the menorah, the shulchan, and the golden altar. So between that outer Mizbeach and the inner part of the in the Ol Moed, we have now the we have the Kiyor, and Rashi is more specific in terms of exactly how it was placed and the position of it. Okay. And Aaron HaKohen would wash his hands and his feet, and that was a mitzvah. Now, we can ask the same question here that we dealt with last week. Last week we dealt with the question that the Rishonim asked, why is a Mizbeach HaZohav, why is that in Parshas Tetzave? Why was it in Parshas Teruma? Okay, so we answered what we answered. And basically the answer there was is that the Gemara says that Maktirin Keteres Alfa Pisha Mizbeach, even though the Mizbeach might not exist, but the Keteres is still brought on the place where the Mizbeach should have sat. Okay, so Kiyor here also. What's the Kiyor doing? This is one of the very many vessels of the Mishkan. So it should have been back in Parshas Terumah. Not only is it not in Chuma, it's not in Tetzaveh, and now it's in Kisisa. Like, what's it doing? What's it doing? What's it doing here? So the Meshech Chochmah again. The Meshech Chochmah gives a similar answer as to the answer that he gives with the Tetzaveh, but he really has something else that he points out, and that is, if you look at the wording, it's funny. It says, you put down the Kiyor on its base, v'nasata shama mayim, and you put water there. If you're talking about an item called a Kiyor, if you want to tell someone you have, let's say, an urn at your house, a hot water urn for Shabbos, what are you going to tell someone? You'll tell one of your kids, put water there? Are you going to say, put water into the urn? Fill the urn with water. It should say, v'nasata bo mayim. It should say, put water in there. What do you mean, put water there? Right? There is a location. But when you're talking about an item, put coffee in my cup. You don't say, put coffee there. So the Meshech Chochmah says, again, the halacha is that if you don't have the kiyor, right, it's not ma'ake. They can wash their hands, right, with any kli sharis actually. So it's not that the water has, if you will, a relationship with the kiyor per se, but it's shoma. That's the place that the rechitza needs to be done. The kohen needs to wash his hands and his feet shoma in that area of the Ol Moed, or between the Ol Moed and the Mizbeach, that place of the Mishkan, I should say, okay? Well, you know, when we use the word Ohel Moed, let me just say, we have the Mishkan, the general Mishkan, and within the Mishkan, you have the Ohel Moed, which is the equivalent of the Heichel and the Beis HaMikdash. That's called the Ohel Moed, and the outside part is in the Chatzar of the Mishkan. So therefore, the idea is, V'nasata Shem, water should be placed there, even if it's not in the Kiyor, so to speak, even if the Kiyor doesn't exist, and they use some other vessel, okay, that would be good enough for washing. So that answers the word Shema, that it's the location that's important in terms of where the water is, where the washing is, and also that's why it doesn't belong in Parshas Tetzaveh the same way the Mizbeach doesn't, because it's not critical. In other words, just like we said, if there's no Mizbeach, you bring Ketores on that spot, so if there's no Kiyor, you would still bring water and wash on that spot, okay? And that's one thought here. He says, he has Reb Meir Soloveitchik in his sefer has a number of diyukim on this parsh. For example, it says Vasisa Kiyor Nechoshes, make the kiyor of copper and the base of copper l'ruchtza, for washing. He says Tzarech Bir, why does it have to say for washing? right? The union of washing that comes up later in your tests. In other words, v'rochatzu Aaron avanim imenu. In other words, like this is like this. Look, it says in pasuk yudches that you make the kiyor, and it says l'rochatzu for washing. Well, you don't have to tell me it's for washing. Just say make the kiyor and its stand. And place it here, end of Pasuk. And then the next Pasuk says, Pasuk Yutez, and Aaron and his sons will wash their hands from there. So the washing is obvious from the next Pasuk. Why in the construction, or and then the placement, I should say, of the Nechoshes, the fact that you have to make the Kiyor a Nechoshes and put it in that place in the Mishkan, why does it have to say the word L'rochtza there? That's an interesting diach, because, of course, it's superfluous. We know from the next Pasuk that that's what he did. So he says, the Rambam tells us that although there's a mitzvah to sanctify his hands and feet from the water of the Kiyar, but if he sanctified his hands and feet from any other kli sharis, as long as you have a sanctified vessel and he takes water from there, that would be sufficient. And this is not like the Ramban. The Ramban says that it's not even a mitzvah. It says it's the kosher lechatchila to use any kli sharis. The Ramban plays down the whole significance of the kiyor, and he says you can even wash with any kli sharis, not only b'diyeved but even lechatchila. So according to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah davka to use again. So the Rambam holds lechatchila he must use the kiyor. If he doesn't use the kiyor, then b'diyeved it's kosher with any vessel. And the Ramban says any vessel is not even a b'diyeved, it's even l'chatchila. So now the Reb Meir Soloveitchik asks, and this is so brisker in style, in terms of the halacha aspect, he wants to know, is a kiyor considered a kiyor even when it's not sitting on its base? Because the way the Torah says over here is, he says, make the kiyor the kano. He says, is it a package deal? Do you have the mila of a kiyor even if it's not sitting on its base? Or maybe the whole mila of a kiyor is when it's on its base. But if you have a kiyor not on the base, it doesn't rise to the level of the chashivas of what a kiyor is supposed to be. It's like any other kli sharis, but it's not a kiyor. Again, if the Rambam holds that there's a special mitzvah to use the kiyor, do we define a kiyor as only a kiyor when it's on its base? And if it's not on its base, because it says the two together in the pasuk, it will help. Like the Rambam says, you could be mekadesh your hands with any kli sharis, but maybe it doesn't have that mitzvah lechatchila mila of a kiyor if it's not on the kano, it's not on its stand. He says, and even though the kiyor and the kano were all anointed with oil, each one separately, but it could be that now that they're anointed, but they have to come as a package deal. So he says, maybe that's what the pasuk says: kiyor nechoshes v'chano nechoshes lirachtza. In other words, the reason lirachtza is to show that it is a package deal, that the kiyor and kano, when it comes together, then it's lirachtza. Otherwise, if the kiyor is not together with the kano, although the kiyor is kosher, it's like any other kli sharis that you find in the Mishkan. But the emphasis of the rochtza when it's stating the kiyor and kano, even though we have the washing in the next pasuk, is to tell me that the washing lechatchil is dependent on the relationship between kiyor and kano, and that's why it's the rochtza. So this is one of many diyukim he has in this parsha of the kiyor. Okay, have a good rest of your day.
But any other queen, that could be the cabin.